Shia. We left off the previous year trying to fine tune the rules of Mamon Amutah B'Safek. So we're talking about this because Tosfos Bavas Naveh has already brought it up. But it plays a major role in understanding our Mishnah. When the Mishnah spoke about a wall that was built to should fit, and now the wall falls down, and we're trying to figure out who owns the airspace and who owns the stones and all the building materials. So some of the klolim of Mamon Amutah B'Safek are all coming together. So just to recap for a moment, it was started out as a machlokes ha-tanoim between Simchus and the Rabbanon. Simchus started out with Mamon Amutah B'Safek Chalkum. That's it, finished, split 50-50, nothing else to talk about. And the Rabbanon said, kind of, sometimes, but not all the time. So if there's nothing else to go on, whether some of those other things to go on, there's no muhsuk, there's no cheskes murakama, it's absolute, just that absolute modified suffering with nothing else to go with, then even the Chum agree to sumchus that Mamon Amutah B'Safek Chalkum. But if there's something else to go on, either muhsuk, cheskes murakama, and again, we spoke a lot about on Friday, what the nature of those halachas are, the relationship between those halachas as well. But then, almost in passing, there was another cloud that plays in terms of the Suffolk Mammon that requires also an understanding as to when does it play in the entire mix of Mammon and Mutab Suffolk. And that was that very, very silly, strange cloud called the Ogun Gvar. The Gemara presented it in the third prayer of Basra about a case where two guys are fighting either over a piece of land, two guys are fighting over a boat out in sea, and the Gemara threw its hands up and says, called the Ogun Gvar. Whoever gets it, leave us out of the picture. And what we were showing him, why was it? And where does that fit into the picture? So Tosfos actually asks, so you also references that Gemara and says, wait a second, why doesn't that play a role here? We're talking about Muxuk, Chesed Bar Kamas, and Chokin. If when we say this call of Kol the Olam Gvar. So let's go a little bit back now to try to get a little bit better sense as where this principle as things that they sound, how does it fit into the general mix of modal suffering? So let's take a look back at the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, back to the first page of fourth of the Rambam Kamos, where the Rambam first introduces us this principle called the Olam Bar. In the next 30 years, we'll try to come up with another Terrence. I'm still stuck. You haven't slept. Like this, I see you haven't slept in 4 days. Okay. So I'll give you an address. I'll give you two addresses. You're core, but from a bunch of sleep, from two. Trust me, maybe you understand. I love it. Although, I'll tell you a secret. The secret does repeat itself a little bit later on, and I'll love a basis. So maybe then we'll get a chance. Let's go back to the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. Reuben claims that this field belonged to his fathers, and Shimon claims it belonged to his fathers. Obviously, nobody's any proof, nobody's any aid them. It's my word, Reuben's word against Shimon's. Amar Rav Nachman called the Olam Gvar. Whoever's stronger is going to win. Whoever gets it in effect. Let's skip down now, beginning of the third line. Umayishna mehadusnan. How is this different? How is this statement of Rav Nachman different from Hamachlif Par B'Chamor B'Yolda, Chedemachish B'Chasso B'Yolda, Zelmech L'Bachar B'Yolda, Zelmech L'Kach B'Yolda, Yechleiku? How in the world can Rav Nachman tell us that we have a suffix in Mamon, you say Kol D'Yolda B'Var, we have a Mishnah, a famous Mishnah, but Mitzir Dav Kufa Meralf, it says that I'm selling you, flipping for you a cow for a donkey, and we don't know exactly the moment of the transaction, and now we find miles off, there's a calf. And we're trying to figure out, does the Meicha get the calf, does the Lekech get the calf? And the Mishnah says, Beferish Yach, like you split it. The Mishnah does not say, let them fight it out to figure who's the stronger one. The Mishnah doesn't say a word, and I call it Omgvar. The Mishnah says, Yach Loko. Now, truth to be told, as we spoke a little bit about on Friday, Tosfos already pointed out, that this Mishnah is a little bit tricky, because we may not even pass like this Mishnah, because this Mishnah is really Simcha speaking. But all the Gemara is doing is extracting from Simchus that we may not follow this Mishnah because maybe there's a Muxa. We may not follow this Mishnah, maybe there's a Chesed Bar Kama. But the principle of Yachloku is a Torah-dika principle that even the Rabbanim subscribe to, if and when it's applicable. So what the Gemara's question was not so much focusing on the specifics of this case. What the Gemara was really asking is, you see from this case that a basic netiyah, a basic approach to Sfeikas and Mammon is to be Cholek, assuming there's no other principle that governs us. How can you tell me the basic Torah principle is called Om Dvar? That's what it says in the Mishnah. That was the Gemara's caption. So the question is, that what was the Gemara's teretz? So for the teretz, we have to go a little bit further on in the Maamar Kamos. So I specifically split up that Gemara for purposes for the Talmidim and Yeshiva. So for our purposes, we're gonna all lump it all together. Let's go back to Maamar Macham number 9. So the Gemara's answer to the question is as follows: how come sometimes you say Yachloku and sometimes you say Kol Yavim Bar? The answer to the Gemara: Halcha Lahai Islay Drora de Mamona, Ulahai Islay Drora de Mamona. Halcha Idemar Lo Demar Videmar Lo Demar. Comes in one says the answer is very, very simple. Very simple. Really, you can spend weeks talking about what the answer was. We're going to try to give it the most basic, elementary pshat. Says the Gemara, there's a huge difference between Reuven screaming it's his field and Shimon screaming it's his field, in contrast to Reuven screaming it's his calf and Shimon screaming it's his calf. What's the difference? In the case of the calf, in the case of the Machlipor or Parva Chamor, everybody agrees that Reuven has Sheikhas to this case and Shimon has Sheikhas to this case. Reuven at one time owned the animal and Shimon now owns the animal. We're not quite sure who owns the calf. So it's true. It's this moment of Mutu Masafik, correct. But it's a moment of Mutu Masafik that both parties have a right to be here. Both parties with certainty have a Shaykhut, Dror, according to the Rashbam. The word Dror means Shaykhut. They have a connection. They have something here that enables them, that entitles them to be present in this Din Torah. When you have this field that we have no idea who owns this field, Reuven's claiming the fields is, and Shimon's claiming the fields is. But the Gemara says, "E demar lo demar, e demar lo demar." It's either Reuven's and Shimon is an outright shakran and he shouldn't even be here, or it's Shimon's and Reuven is an outright liar and he shouldn't be here. Or the same is the case of the boat. It was an identical case about a boat. There was a boat out at sea. Reuven's claiming it's my boat. Shimon's claiming it's his boat. So again, there's no mukhlik, no cheskes. No one owns the high seas, so there's no cheskes marakam. There's no mukhlik, nothing. So again, the Gemara said the same thing has been called the olam gvar. They're also idamar, lo demar, idamar, lo demar. It means if it's Reuven, then Shimon's a liar. If it's Shimon, then Reuven's a liar. So the Gemara is telling us this difference that statistically it's a 50-50 that it's Reuven, 50-50 that it's Shimon's in both cases. But the fact that in the case of the Machlokes Parva Chamor, each party has some entitlement to this discussion, each party belongs here, that changed the din radically. And that becomes the impediment to apply the rule of called the Olam Gvar. So the Gemara just told us a tremendous yisod there. That again, these are all cases where we have no muchzik to go on and no ches merkam. If we have muchzik, ches merkam, the game's over. So we're now dealing with four different klolim. Our sugya is having a klolim having children now. We have four different klolim in terms of what do you do when you have a suffering mama. There's muchzik, there's ches merkam. Those carry the day. Muchzik happens to carry the day more than Chesed Bar Kama, but there's Muchzik Chesed Bar Kama. We're not Sumchus people. So Muchzik Chesed Bar Kama, two klolim. In the absence of those two klolim, then one of two other klolim become relevant. One possible other klal is called the Olam Gvar. The other possible klal is Yachloku. When do you say one and when do you say the other? When you have Dror D'Ramayna, the Sheikhas Mamlon, when both parties belong here, both parties have a Sheikhas in the case, then and only then do you say Yachloku. What's the Bira Dover? What is it based on? This is straight Torah. What is this all based on? So we have to go back another step. And we have to go back to the fourth of the Maamar Kamos again. Gemara starts off again. Starts with the same pismin. So now we're going to read the first question second. Exactly what the Mishnah picking up and says you're not supposed to do. The Mishnah says it's supposed to first discuss the first thing, then the second thing. We did it the other way around for the following reason. He asks the Gemara the following question. Umaishna Mishnei Shtaris Hayotzim Biyom Echa. 10 minutes just on said, what in the world? What does the case mean? Shnei Shtaris Hayotzim Biyom Echa means as follows. Reuven owns a field There's no question Reuven's owned this field for the last 100 years. He's got 8. No one's questioned that Reuven owned the field. Shimon walks into Beis Din with a document saying that Reuven sold him the field. It's signed, sealed, delivered, Kiyum Shtara. It's a perfectly legitimate Beis Din, authenticates the document, very good. Reuven sold the field to Shimon. It has the date, obviously, has to have a document without a date. It's not going to do it. It says the date on the Shtar. It says, today's day of Cheshvan, is it? When they start saying the same Talmud? Today's Vav, okay, tomorrow's Zayin. So, okay, so Vav, it says, Vav Mar Cheshvan on. Very nice, okay, wonderful. So, Reuven sold the field to Shimon on Vav Mar Cheshvan and Shalom Yisrael. Until Levi walks into the basin. Levi walks into the basin by Gali, with it, also with the Shtar that says that Reuven sold him the field on, you won't believe this one, on Vav Cheshvan. Now, obviously, if one of the shtaros would have been dated before the other, we wouldn't be sitting here and discussing the case. Obviously, but if two shtaros that say the exact same date on it, now what do you do? So the Gemara tells us the one thing you don't do is try to figure out, well, which one of them came before the other. One of them must have been written at 10 o'clock in the morning, one at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Gemara says, that's not relevant. V'she'ein kosvin shos. You don't write the hour in a document. You only write the day in a document, which basically means it doesn't really matter what hour it says this document. The document takes effect on the day, and now we have two documents that are taking effect on the same day. So what do you do? So in a certain sense, we have a suffering moment. Reuven's not claiming the field is. He's gone. Reuven left it. He's ready in he's in Australia ready. We don't need him anymore. But we have a din turn now. We have a fight between Shimon and Levi. Who is the rightful owner of this field? So comes in Gemara and says, in such a case, the Rab Amar Yachloiku. Rab says Yachloiku. You split it. Ushmuel Amar Shuda the Dining. Oh, another case we thought four column were confusing. Now we have fifth column. Shuda the Dining. Shuda the Dining means it's actually the Chalikas the Rishon, which Shuda the Dining means. We're going to go with the simple Pshat Shuda the Dining. Shuda the Dining means that the Dayanim have to use their imagination a little bit, use their creativity, use their insight a little bit to figure out who did Reuven probably mean to really truly give the shtar to give them a tana to. Clearly, Reuven wants one of them to have it, and for whatever reason, before he jumped ship off to Australia, Reuven wrote some other shtar to pacify some other guy, but he didn't really mean to give the other. That's probably what happened. Now here, Reuven's not here anymore. And the Dayanim are sitting with Shimon and Levi screaming at each other. Shimon says, I'm the rightful recipient of this matana. And Levi says, I'm the rightful. How's Beis Din going to figure this out? So the Rishonim explained that the Beis Din now has to look a little bit of context and see, what's the relationship between Reuven, Shimon, and Levi? Is Shimon a very close friend of Reuven's? Is Levi a very close friend? Has Shimon been a good neighbor for many years? Is Levi somebody Reuven really trusts? And Beis Din has to assess if they can and try to figure out, does it make more sense that Reuven probably meant it to give it to Shimon or not? That's quite a loaded job for Beis Din to do. You know, usually Beis Din, we work with Eidim, we work with Shtaras. We got to start bringing in our psychological tools to try to figure out, reconstruct history, what probably happened. That's what Shmuel says, the principal quote, should have denied it. So both Rav and Shmuel are invoking a principle in what do we do when we have a suffix in Mamon, but one thing neither of them is invoking is what? It's called the Olam Gvar. Nobody says, let Shimon and Levi fight it out. That's the Gemara's question again. Well, how about the Gemara asks? I don't understand. We just got finished saying, Zel Meshal Avaisa, Zel Meshal Avaisa, called the Olam Gvar. You just fight it out. But you see that that's not true. You see from Rav and Shmuel, from the early Amoraim, it's not true that there are other clones that we use. So the Gemara is posing a similar kind of question. When do we say Kol D'Olam Gvar and when do we not? So the Gemara answers the following, also a cryptic answer. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, Leika L'Meikim Ala D'Milsa, Hocha Ika L'Meikim Ala D'Milsa. Now there's a big difference in the two cases. In the case of selling the character to two different people, and the case of just two people just stomp fighting out who owns the land. Says the Gemara, in the case of the Shtaros, we're never going to get clarity. It is impossible to ever get clarity because the proof are the documents and the two proofs are contradicting each other. And there's nothing we're ever going to find out otherwise. Therefore, because we're never going to find out anything else, therefore we don't say kol da olam gevar, and we go for some other klal. In the case of the Zemei Shlavos, we haven't even begun to collect proofs yet. Maybe there are witnesses somewhere around. Maybe someone has a document somewhere around. I have no idea what's going to happen. So since it's Ebshel Amekim Allah Demilsa, we could find out what's going to happen. Therefore, kol da olam gevar kicks in. Ad kan debir adima. This is pili plug. We understand the difference between the two cases. In one case, there's nothing ever going to resolve itself. We finished all the proofs. We're done, and we've reached a brick wall. In the other case, we're still open for discussion. We understand the difference, but we have no idea why that difference should make a difference. That's what we call in our lingo. It's true but irrelevant. But why should that be? It's very nice. We identify the difference between the two scenarios, but why should that make a difference? So the Rashbam explains exactly what's going on here. Yesoda, Yesodos. That's going to clarify for us everything we've been talking about for this entire morning. Says the Rashbam, kol da olam gevar, this brand new principle in Dina Mamonos, we never heard of it. We get the Mabas Daf Lamed Daled, kol da olam gevar. Says the Rashbam, kol da olam gevar is not a psach beis din. Kol da olam gevar is not the Eila Mishpat Mishter Tosim Lefneya being put into practice. Kol da olam gevar is anarchy. Kol da olam gevar is the wild, wild west. It is not a psach beis din. So if it's not a psach beis din, what is it? It's a siluk of beis din. It's a beis din closing the door and saying, we're sorry, we just can't help you. There are some situations that arise where, what do you want from me? What do you want them to do? There's nothing for the vassalah to do. We have no Edom, we have no Rayas, we have no Shtarot. Our guess is as good as your guess. So, I mean, when you find out, try not to kill anybody, try to make sure nobody gets hurt. But in terms of what can we possibly do, we sometimes...
Rabbi, why can't they do either Shvuah or actually Elio Navi Yovo? I mean, in all that...
Shvuah is not something that we just, we just administer just casually like that. Shvuah is there are dinim d'araisa when a shvuah has to be taken. There are dinim in the rabban and the chazal sometimes wanted to accomplish something very, very specific. They had a reason to believe that one part of us tell the truth here. Basically, there's nothing to go on. We have nothing to go on. Who going to take a shvuah? Both of them are going to take shvuahs. They're going to end up, one of them is going to end up swearing falsely. So we don't want to just throw a shvuah into the mix. Actually, of Elio is in a certain sense worse because then nobody gets it. So what are we gonna do with this land? So we're gonna put yellow tape around the land, the open board, and declare the danger zone, the construction off limits. What are we gonna do? So Basin said, I think part of the issue is that we live, and this is something, this is almost something that plagues modern society. We're convinced that there's a solution for every problem, and if we think hard enough, we'll find the solution. So the answer, there may be solutions for certain problems. There may be solutions for all problems, but they may be out of the realm of our understanding how to solve them. There is no solution to this problem. That's what the Gemara says. There is nothing for us to do that makes any sense in the Dinimominus for us to do. And therefore, it's better for us to be masaling ourselves and walk away and let whatever happens, happens. And again, obviously, if we see Reuben come with a shotgun, we're gonna have to stop him because we don't want the nefashas on our hands. But short of that, we're not do anything because we just have no authority. We have no reason to do anything because we have nothing intelligent to add to the mix. Says, wait, hold on. We're getting. Okay, wait. What's up? So comes the Rashbam and tells us that kol da olam gevar is a non psak. It's a siluk. However, says the Rashbam, sometimes we have no right to throw our hands up. Sometimes we're there. I don't mean this literally. We're getting paid to be the yadam. Don't take that was shochet. No, don't take that little. But the elam mishpat mishadas lefem. The world stands. Well, emes adin rashalom. What do you mean we throw our hands up? What kind of lame excuse is that? Figure out something to do. So, and as some of you are already suggesting, some of the possibilities, which are not such bad suggestions, so comes to Rashbam and says as follows. When you have a din Torah of Zel Meshel Avosai, so you want us to give a psak that we're not wholeheartedly is really true anyway. So we have no idea what the psak is. So give me some great ideas to do. What should we do? Yachleiku, why not? Let's do Yachleiku. And what's going to happen next week when one of them actually does bring a shtar and one of them actually does bring Aiden, and one of them actually does win the Din Torah, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to unravel Apsak. We're going to have to undo Apsak. And that's something that at all costs we try not to do. Beis Din gives Apsak. We want the Apsak to let it. Every once in a while, there's a mistake that was made, and we have to go back there. Okay, as soon as it's an end, what do you do when you have a Beis Din Shatah? But we are not setting up a precedent. We are not going to sit on a Din Torah knowing full well that Apsak is going to be unraveled in 10 minutes from now. And that's exactly what the Gemara says the Rashbam. When you have a Zeh Meshul Avos and Zeh Meshul Avos, why should we give the psak? Let's stall. Kol Olam Dvar is not a psak. It's a stall tactic. That's what the Rashbam says. Because it may have some clarity down the line. If it'll have some clarity, let's wait. Why should we give this, no pun intended, but a half-baked psak of Yechleiku, which is Sheker anyway. We know it's Sheker. We know it's not true. We're going to give a half-baked psak of Yechleiku, and then next week, someone's going to come and bring aid and bring a star, and we have to go back and redo the case. What's better, says the Rashbam, is to tell the Balei Dinim, well, we're just, you know, based on vacation for next week. We have no idea. Kol Da'on Gvar is another way of saying based is on vacation. It's another way of saying we're not listening to the case. What happens? I have no idea. So we only use that, says the Rashbam, when we suspect that there will be a correct psak in some future day. However, in the case of the Shnei Shtaros, there's never going to be a correct psak because we have all of it. There's nothing to change. Even if one of them is going to bring Adam that the sale took place at 11 o'clock in the morning, ain't close and shows. It doesn't matter what happened first. If both documents are dated the identical date, it doesn't matter. This is an impossible to resolve situation. So when you have an impossible to resolve situation, that will never be changed anyway. So basically, you can't go on vacation. Basin is called upon the Elam Mishpat to come up with something creative. So Rav and Shmuel are finding out what's the most creative solution. So Shmuel says, we're going to trust the intuition of the Beis Din to try to figure out psychologically who Reuven meant to give the present to. And Rav said, that's not going to work. That's too risky. That's not a viable option. Leis Breira, Zach says, we have no other psak available. We're going to give a psak. That's not 100% emes, but it's the best we can come up with. Called Yechlek.
Isn't it possible that Reuven can come back at some point?
But it's not going to help because Reuven's only an Eichet anyway and he's about double. That's not going to matter what he says. So we independently have no way of verifying what happened.
Is Kol Da'on
Gvar,
like you're saying, you guys are not ready for
Bezdin,
go become a
Mosa,
go.
Yeah, right. Basically saying the Bezdin. And then in effect, we're going to just kind of certify the Kol Da'on Gvar, right. Kol Da'on Gvar, we can't do it. What do you want from us? Bezdin has the right.
And then, like, Kol Da'on Gvar, go get some proof, go get some.
Right. So it's interesting. Some of the Rishonim say that Kol Da'on Gvar doesn't mean, you know, with brute force. It means Bein Barayas, Bein Mekoyach. It means go come back in a month when you have something more to go on, right? Now, it could be in the course of that month, one guy may bump the other guy out. It's possible, but what do you want from Mason? There's no choice. We're very sad and sorry to say, but we have no choice. We don't have a solution that's a workable solution right now. So according to this distinction of the Gemara, the Yisoda Dover is that Kol Da'on Gvar is basically a walk away, basically a cop out. It's saying we're walking away, we have no choice. But when the halacha requires of us to paskin, Kol Da'on Gvar is not a psak based. That's not an intelligent psak. Go find out, go beat yourselves up. That's not a psak based. That's what the Rashbam, that's a silukah based, not a psak based. Now the Gemara Mamish reads like a charm. Mamish, everything, all the pieces of the puzzle now fit. The Gemara drew a distinction between the case of, I say, Reuven says it's his field, and Shimon says it's his field. E demar lav demar, demar lav demar. It's either Reuven's or Shimon's. One of them is an outright shackle. It's an outright liar. In the case of Meicher, Machlipar, Bechamor, we know that both parties belong here. Each one is entitled to be discussing the ownership of this calf because Haraya, Reuven used to own the cow, and Shimon now does on the cow. So each one is a barach, each one is a drad ramayna, each one is a shaychas amam, each one belongs in this court. So come the Rishayim and explain, when you have a suffix that each party is rightfully so standing in front of us, we have a job as they are. And we have no right to say, we're going to walk away. And we have no right to stall tactic. We have to baskin. You have to come up with something good. Come up with something intelligent. So we go back to our playbook and try to see what are some of the psak we have up our sleeve. The best one is musak. Sorry to tell you, there's no musak here. Next best one is cheskes marakam. Sorry, there is no chedurah. The next best, when all else fails, who comes back to life? Sukkos comes back to life, even for the Rabbanan. And guess what? What do we say? Chokin, which is exactly what the Mishnah says, exactly what we do. So we don't have an option of doing kol the olam dvar in the case of the machat bar b'chamor, because each one has a drawer de ramona. So whenever there's a drawer de ramona present, that's an obstacle that prevents us from saying kol the olam dvar is not a psach halacha tradition. So now when hakol mikol kol we can put together. I can't say with a straight face we're going to put together all the kolam b'safik mamon, but at least we have a little bit of a little bit of understanding here as to what are some of the things that we work with when we have sfeikus in mamon. So the basic rules, the basic hierarchy of kolam b'safik mamon that emanate from this sugya, both from the Mishnah and the Taitz and the Beis and Babasra, and the sugya that Flam and Dalam and Babasra, and the sugya of Kuf in Babutziya, and the sugya of the fifth parak of Baba Kama, putting together the bubbles across the line, pretty much there's a very, very coherent system that works out. Sometimes when you learn these sugyas, you think just a total hefker melt, totally arbitrary. One guy says Yechlunka, one guy says Suffolk, one guy shoots the dining, one guy's Bukhtar. No, this makes perfect sense. The entire system makes perfect sense. First and foremost, what the Gemara says, Zeh klal gola b'din, that's Muchsach, what's the Levaraya? Where does that come from? Very simple. Either it's a pasuk or a svar. That's the Gemara Fifth Parak of Baba Kama. The Gemara thought it's a pasuk. I think Gemara thought it's a svar. I think Gemara may think it's a pasuk. It's a din derais, alam likra svar, whatever it is, a din derais called muchsuk. Then we have din number two. In the absence of real muchsuk, then you follow cheskes marakama. Where did that come from? Oh, that was last week's argument between the ketzayis and his brother. Is that a subcategory of muchsuk? That's like a quasi muchsuk, a lower down, watered down muchsuk? Or is that another with muchsuk? That's chazoka mekara. That's baisa menuga. That's isra'et, that's tumitara. It's a different sugya. But that's the second thing that we go for. So those are the two columns that we go for. Muxa number one, Chesed Markam number two. If both of them are absent, then we have a third psak. The third psak is Chokin. And again, Sumchus believe Chokin applies even more inclusive than the Rabbanah, but we're following most of the Rishon Pasuk again. Sumchus now, Pashas, the Halacha like Sumchus. So no Muxuk, no Chesed Markama. Then and only then you fall into the category of Chokin. However, we do have in left field this principle of Kol the Olam Gvar, but as the Rishonim now explained, Lamadal Lamadei Bavasra, Kol the Olam Gvar is not a Psak based in. Kol the Olam Gvar is a Siluk of based in. And therefore, we only Misalik when it's appropriate to be Misalik. When is it appropriate to be Misalik? One of two reasons. Either because we have no idea these parties are supposed to even be here. No one has Dror Dramonis here, so we're not talking to these guys. We're walking away. And the other important piece of information to keep in mind is that if it's a kind of a din Torah that if we're going to say kol olam gvar, we're going to say some psak, and that's going to be changed next week, we'd rather not do that. And therefore, we're going to also pull out of our hat a kol olam gvar. So kol olam gvar is not a psak; it's a siluk based in when all other psakim are not appropriate, and there's no psak that's appropriate. Then and only then you fall back on a kol olam gvar. And we saw in passing that fifth klal. Shur the Dayane, which is a very, very limited in scope. Shur the Dayane is even, Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, Rab doesn't even buy into it, but even Shmuel who says Shur the Dayane plays a role, that's very, very limited in application. In a case where the Suffolk is who he sold the field to, will we try to psychoanalyze the Meicha and figure out who he meant to sell the field to? At least according to Shmuel, that could also be a Shtichel Psach to some degree, but again, that doesn't bear down on most of Sfeikas in Mamun. We have our klolim, and we know exactly when they apply, and everything makes perfect sense. And it's not just a hefkabelt, random. Everything mamsh fits into halachic categories. Muchsach, cheskes barakama, chokin, gvar, and shur the dining. Hopefully, we try to give a little bit of clarity to the sugi. Hopefully, mitzvah shem tomorrow. So we'll get the next barakama, so we're going to start a whole brand new sugi mitzvah shem starting tomorrow.
I'll take care of barakama tomorrow.
Okay, great. Okay.